This is Marlena Lieberg for ACB Radio, and I am catching up with some folks whom I met at CSUN but was not able to sit and chat with. And on the phone now, I have a very interesting gentleman by the name of Rick Boggs, and Rick is with WeCTV. Welcome to ACB Radio, Rick.
Thank you so much. Pleasure to be with you.
Now, are you the director of WeCTV?
I'm the president, founder.
Well, we go to the top here at ACB Radio. Well, anyone who has listened to the Blind Justice programming on ABC has heard of WeCTV. Can you tell us a little bit about WeCTV, what you do, and where you're located?
We're in Los Angeles, California, and we provide primarily video description for network broadcast as well as DVD programs. We also have a captioning partner, closed captioning services, that provide captioning for the shows that we describe on Fox and ABC. And we are, what's a little bit unique about WeCTV, or a lot unique, is that we actually employ blind people, blind professionals, as audio engineers, and as voiceover talent, and in some administrative positions. So about half of the people that work here are visually impaired or totally blind.
Do you guys actually write the narrations?
We do. I've gone out and hired the best. Terry Grossman and Micah Grossman, both very experienced describers. Terry's trained under some of the best in the business, of course, the Deborah Lewis and the Margaret Fansteels, you know, folks that have put their indelible stamp on this industry, have passed along a lot of really good information. And in fact, Terry does a lot of, our writers do a lot of training. They're just out training at Yale, training some other folks. They do a lot of live description in theaters and so forth, and now have an awful lot of video description under their belt, too.
So the voices we hear, particularly on the Blind Justice program, many of those are actually blind people reading the narrative?
They are. On Blind Justice so far, you have heard three voices. One is mine. I'm the only blind person that you've heard on Blind Justice, but there are two more blind people that are going to be doing episodes. The other two, you've heard Terry Grossman herself and her debut as a voice on television. We cast, we're very careful about casting the voices for the programs, trying to choose voices that are appropriate to the material, yet distinctly different from the characters in the show. And we thought Terry was a good fit in this particular case. And then another gentleman who is a performer with a disability and serves as a co-vice chair with myself on the Performers with Disabilities National Committee and the Screen Actors Guild, and that's Jack Patterson. So,
how did WeCTV get started?
I sort of pioneered methods of digital audio recording for blind folks like myself, with using the industry standard software of Pro Tools in the early 90s. You can find articles about it on the internet. There are others now who are much more adept at it than I am. I just was the first to find a way to get the job done. And so I was running a recording studio here in Los Angeles, doing radio commercials and music CDs and the various things that recording studios do. And I was volunteering for you know, the biggest in the business in description, and doing publicity and coordinating of, what do you call it, sort of expert audience events where blind people come in and consult and all that sort of thing. And I represented them on national television and did a lot of advocacy work and so on and so forth. When a friend of mine who works in captioning pointed out, Michael Hansel pointed out, hey, Rick, you know, you have the facilities and the know-how. Why aren't you doing description yourself? I mean, it's not like there's not enough work to be done. You know, no one company could handle all the programs that are out there. And I thought, gee, that's pretty smart. And I thought that was a good idea. So in 1999, I made up my mind to start devoting increasing amounts of time, recording time, to video description. And now it's become the dominant thing that we do at my studio.
Can you tell us a little bit about how it all gets put together?
I really like the question, Marlene, and thanks, because this is an area that people really don't understand how it works. And And there's a lot of mystery about why does one thing get described and another not, and why something in the theater and something not on DVD. And there's so many aspects of this business that people just have no idea. But I'll do the basics as quickly and simply as I can. It goes like this. We get a videotape and that our sighted describers will watch. That tape will have the sound and the picture, but it will also have these, what they call time codes, little minutes, hour, minutes, and seconds in one of the corners of the screen as it goes by. The writer views the show, of course, having been trained, you know, not to describe things that we can determine by listening. They don't have to hear, you know, oh, gee, the phone's ringing or something like that. They are trained to determine what is the most important thing to describe, since you can't describe everything, and to write description that will fit in the time that we have allotted, because you can't talk over the dialogue. So they write a script, and they keep notes on the time code. Oh, at one, you know, at 1 minute, 10 seconds, you can say this, you know, and so on and so forth. They write a script in an Excel format, and then that's converted to a text format, which is then brailled on a braille embosser, and then we cast a voice for the program. We choose from our 14 or 15 voiceover artists who is appropriate for the job, or sometimes we debut new artists. We're always wanting to give new opportunities to blind people. So then what will happen is we take that videotape and we sync it using complicated synchronizing equipment. We sync it to a computer using a recording program called Pro Tools. It's the most widespread recording software in the world. And you record into Pro Tools the audio portion of the movie. And Pro Tools also keeps track of the minutes and seconds exactly as it is on the tape. And so now it's in the computer. Now we have a voiceover session where the engineer has a script and the voiceover artist has a script, the director has a script, and we go through and we record each description. We call them description blocks. We just record each one separately. So we queue up the computer so that we don't have to listen to the whole show from top to bottom numerous times. We just go to the location, go to 2 minutes, 5 seconds, and the voiceover artists can hear the show in their headphones, and they read the description, and we can tell if it fits in the space. And if they have to read it faster, we do it again. And then we go to the next spot, and we record that. So it's all recorded in pieces. Then an editor who may be blind or not, we'll go through and actually edit, clean up the tracks, take out all the breaths and the little mouth noise, clicks and pops, yeah, and all that kind of stuff, you know. And then it's ready for mix. And at that point, two people sit together, once again, a blind audio expert and another engineer. Not that a blind person couldn't engineer it themselves, and we have some that do. But I like to have two pairs of ears to make sure that we agree about, you know, it's judgment calls about what sounds good and what doesn't. And I've outlined kind of the general guidelines for what our aesthetic should sound like, because everybody has different opinions. Our goal is to not smash the movie too much. We feel that other companies sometimes turn the movie down too low during the description. So you,
yes,
you know,
I've noticed
that. That we remember that the movie is the thing. People are listening to the movie, not to our beautiful description. So we try to keep the movie as loud as we can and keep the description down, not hopefully, and I think sometimes we've fallen below the threshold where we've mixed it too low, I'll admit that, but we're trying to find where's the minimum that it can be where it can definitely be heard, but we can still hear the movie. So they sit and they mix the movie. They start at the top and they start adjusting volumes. It's an automated system. So you set levels. At this point, the movie will come down. At this point, the description comes up, this, that, and the other thing. And there's technical considerations you have to think about that the network requires. You can't, your overall sound together can't peak over 14 dB, and yet it can't fall below, you know, to 8 or 9 dB.
Mm-hmm.
And there's all these different technical rules. So you got to follow all that. Then when that's all mixed, then we do what they call layback. You're going to sync the computer to the videotape again, and this time we're going to be putting the sound back from the computer that has our description mixed in and putting that sound back onto the videotape in sync with the picture. And once we do that, then it's ready to be delivered.
How long does it take you, let's say, to put one episode of Blind Justice together?
One episode. Well, we're allowed 5 days on Blind Justice. We just did one in 48 hours. It kind of depends how many hours we decide to work a day. I think it takes about approximately 40 man hours to get the job done. Person hours, what do you want to call them? 40 human labor hours of labor to get the job done. One step I actually overlooked when I was describing this a minute ago is we also do a QC session. This is one thing that we do that I'm not aware that any other company does. After the writer writes the script, but before we go to voiceover, we sit down with a blind consultant and we play the movie and the writer just reads the script on the fly so that the blind person has a chance to say, wait a minute, I didn't understand that. What does that mean? I need more description, or you don't have to tell me this. I can figure that out.
Oh, that's great.
So when you add the QC session in, that adds another 4 hours or so to the overall time. So it takes blind justice will take, let's say, 4 hours for a writer to write, 4 hours for a QC, you know, 2 to 4 hours for voiceover, an hour to edit, and 2 to 4 hours to mix, and another hour to lay back. And that didn't count the hour or two to digitize it in the first place, you know. And the reason the man hours come out to more is because it's several. You have one person working during the writing, but you have two people working during the QC,
sure.
Three people during a voiceover, two people during the mix, that kind of thing.
Sure, sure. Do you describe other programs and where
we
can we see them?
We describe That 70 Show on Fox. We're in our third season of description for that, and we describe The Wonderful World of Disney, the movies on ABC.
Now, one of the controversies that surrounds all this audio description among many of the controversies, but one of them is, so it's there, but how do I know as a blind person that it's available, and how do I know how to get my equipment on the SAP channel? Do you guys address any kind of advocacy for accessibility?
Oh, that's part of our job. It's looking after our industry, and I have tried and will continue to try to get the description producers in this country to form a professional association like other industries have. There are many, many industries. Plumbers have it. Electricians have it. You know, construction companies. There's many, you know, lawyers have it, insurance agents. A lot of people have professional associations where people that work in that industry can get together and discuss standards and, more importantly, advocate to try to grow the industry as a whole. What can we do to tell people, hey, this, you may not know you need this, but you need this. This is wonderful. You may not know that you would enjoy this, but you really would enjoy it. And then making it more widely available. And we have a lot of education to do. We have to educate the blind consumers about how to advocate on their own behalf and how to let manufacturers of televisions and VCRs and cable boxes and satellite receivers, let them know that these on-screen menus need to talk. Like, thank goodness Zenith actually recognized that and made some talking products. And not only that, but let the networks know that we'll use the SAP if they'll put something on it, and let the movie studios know that we will watch these movies and we'll buy their DVDs if their home entertainment divisions will simply put the description on the disc. So there's a lot of work to be done, and we definitely do advocacy in this area.
If people would like some suggestions from WeCTV for how to advocate for some of these things, can they contact you guys?
Absolutely. They can call our toll-free number. They can go visit our website, which has our email on it. Email's pretty easy, though. It's info@WeCTV.com. WeCTV is three words, WeCTV. So if you think of info@wectv.com, or if you go to wectv.com as a website, you know, www.wectv.com, or our toll-free number spells WeCTV also, which is, it's the toll-free exchange. The only tricky part is that it's 866, but it is 866-WeCTV, which is 937-3388.
Well, I think this is fascinating, Rick, and I tell you, I am a great fan of Blind Justice. I think you guys do a terrific job, and I think we'll be talking again soon. I'd like to actually do some features on educating folks on how to advocate, how to get to the VCR manufacturers, the cable companies, the networks, etc. So we may talk again soon.
Well, Lena, if you'd like to coordinate about that, I'd love to be of assistance. I would come prepared with names, numbers, and protocol for how to organize and how to be most effective, you know, rather than just calling your local electronics retailer or whatever. What would the most effective coordinated effort, what could we do? I'd be more than happy to prepare something for a show like that.
Well, let's plan on a part two then to this interview.
Sounds great.
Thank you so much, Rick. I appreciate your taking time out of your busy day.
It's always a pleasure because we love ACB Radio.
For ACB Radio, I'm Marlena Lieberg.